Surviving Modern Yoga: Cult Dynamics, Charismatic Leaders, and What Survivors Can Teach Us, by Matthew Remsky, narrated by Matthew Remsky, published by North Atlantic Books. Dedication and Thanks. Dedicated to the women harmed by Kay Pattabhi Joyce, and to everyone working for a culture of care and justice in the yoga world and beyond. Special thanks to Nick Little and Donna Fari, who believed in this idea enough to risk publishing a first edition. To Maitri Pushpa Boyce for her editorial guidance in those early days. To Tim McKee at North Atlantic Books for showing moral leadership in publishing. And to my editors, Jasmine Respes and Shayna Keels, for bringing this book to its fuller potential. To everyone who contributed to initial crowdfunding for this project, including Joseph Goodman, Linda McGrath, Clemens Schumacher, Michelle Theoret, and Galen Tremblay. Thank you to family, friends, and colleagues who have provided ongoing support for this project and helped expand my resource base through my work on Conspirituality Podcast. Beatrice Adler-Bolton, Dr. Theslam Alani-Virji, Brenna Artinger, Dr. Kathleen Ballou, John Bemrose, Dale Baran, Derek Barris, Norman Blair, Beau Brink, Dr. Matthew Brown, Jennings Brown, Catherine Bruni-Young, Dr. Rebecca Carter-Chand, Lena Miller-Cressman, Susanna Crockford, Philip D. Slip, Emma Dines, Elizabeth Emberley, Patrick Farnsworth, Julian Field, Sarah Garden, Dr. Anne Glegg, Aubrey Gordon, Kathleen Hale, Colin Hall, Virginia Heffernan, Jeevana Heyman, Michael Hobbs, Kathleen Hoskins, Håkon F. Hoidl, Jonathan Jerry, Michelle Cassandra Johnson, Natai Joseph, Dr. Chris Kavanaugh, Dr. Annie Kelly, Cassie Kitt, Naomi Klein, Jude Mills, George Monbio, Dr. C. T. Nguyen, Natalia Petrozella, Ann Pittman, David Remsky, Jake Rokitansky, Mike Rothschild, Jason Sharp, Daniel Sherrell, Christiane Slomka, Tenmori Sundararajan, Dr. Peter Staudenmeier, Stacy Stukin, Travis View, Julian Walker, Dr. Theo Wildcroft. And thank you to Alex Bemrose for the insight, support, and love. In fact, it is in the nature of the Indian tradition that the student should strive to understand the teacher, for in striving, and not from being spoon-fed, is knowledge revealed. Eddie Stern, Guruji, A Portrait of Sri K. Pattabhi Joyce Through the Eyes of His Students. Content Notice. This book records the graphic testimonies of women who describe being sexually assaulted by an acclaimed yoga master while practicing in his classes. It also documents the ways in which their experiences were denied, rationalized, or spiritualized by fellow practitioners, some of whom knew full well what was occurring. The testimonies are arranged to preserve accuracy while minimizing gratuitous detail and repetition. There are descriptions of intergenerational physical abuse, corporal punishment, and several graphic descriptions of video and pictorial evidence that depict assault. This material is presented here with context, analysis, and calls to action in the hope of building safer spaces for the practice of yoga, Buddhism, mindfulness, eco-spirituality, and other forms of self-help and healing. For some thoughts on self-care while listening, please refer to the self-care while listening to this book section that can be found toward the end of the introduction.
Forward. Back in 2012, Elephant Journal published an article by Katie Poole about the growing evidence for unethical behaviors at the heart of John Friend's market-dominating Anusara Yoga. In it, Poole made a startling prediction that the age of the sage on the stage of yoga was over. Looking back, she was at least a decade too early. Matthew and I met just a few years later as part of our own diverse entanglements with contemporary yoga culture, as practitioners, as educators, as researchers, as activists and as survivors, when new cases of abuse broke, when we needed to talk theory through with someone who knew how we think, and when we needed to vent with someone safe, Matthew was, and still is, one of the people that I text or get on a call with. We aren't people who do much small talk, but our somewhat erratic friendship is no less important for that. His allies have often been mine. He is good to think with, and a researcher can give a little praise that is higher than that. I know that he doesn't publish everything he hears any more than I do, but as an academic, my path is more cautious than his. As a journalist and podcaster, he gets his work out whilst I'm still searching for data. And therefore, what he brings to the table is always contingent, imperfect, but timely and vital. The publication of the first edition of this book marked a high waterline in the pressure to call specific charismatic yoga teachers to account for multiple crimes across multiple jurisdictions. This second edition is also important for marking the still evolving moment where the culture, the media, and even the research of modern yoga moves from deliberate ignorance to case studies to systemic thinking, not just about abuse, but about misinformation, colonialism, gender-based violence, and neoliberalism. This book centered the voices of survivors at a time when their stories were largely unheard. But it also begins the work of centering people other than charismatic community leaders in the process of practical solutions. My own doctoral research is in many ways a hymn to the grassroots communities of teachers and practitioners who are the true heart and real value of most modern yoga schools. But the hard work goes on, as Matthew's new preface details. What we do now is less about crusading against our self-appointed gods and more about navigating accountability for a fiercely independent transnational community of practice, some of whom see their work as a profession, others as a spiritual calling, and many of them both. Threading the needle of activist and commentator, scholar and survivor hasn't got any easier. Just this week, a yoga teacher close to me left a training retreat early, having been subjected to an undeclared masterclass in how to teach hot yoga according to the original Bikram script. As Ellen Siksu warns us, there is always one god or another lying in ambush at the right place with his reassuring look of an enigma personified. May this book serve, then, not just as a waymarker on the path to justice, not just as witness to the stories of survivors, but also a reminder that gods, like sages and statues, can be toppled when we work together with the kind of courage and compassion that this book strives to embody. Theo Wildcroft, PhD.
Preface to the second edition. Origin story. The first edition of this book was a small part of a swelling wave of resistance against exploitation and patriarchal cruelty in global yoga, modern convert Buddhism, and spiritual communities throughout the global north. It opens with the story of how my reporting on abuse in Ashtanga yoga began in 2016. My late friend, Diane Bruni, told me shocking facts about Patabi Joyce, the founder of Ashtanga yoga. But I didn't quite want to believe what she was saying. It all resonated too closely with my own unresolved experience in abusive spiritual groups. I wanted the yoga world, into which I had professionalized and through which I had repaired some of my self-esteem, to be safer than it was. That resistance gave way under the pressure of several waves. First, I recognized that the physical and sexual violence Diane and other women were describing was not some aberration in an otherwise functional patriarchy. The most cursory look at the origins of modern yoga show that its earliest entrepreneurs had graduated through systems of spiritualized male dominance and corporal punishment. This scene was familiar to me. Like Patabi Joyce, I too had grown up in an all-boys school with authoritarian priests at the top of the hierarchy. I could recall the cruel logic of spiritualized discipline that prevented me from clearly naming it as abuse. If you were beaten or manhandled, it was by someone who was correcting you for your own good.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?